This podcast is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com. Lab-tested clean foods and supplements for immune function, long-term storage, and survival applications. Every purchase helps fund this free speech video platform. Thank you for your support. Welcome to Prep with Mike, and this podcast is about distance, because we tend to think about how far away something is right now in terms of minutes of driving. Minutes of driving, right? You might tell someone, oh, you're going to the store, and they say, how far away is it? And you say, oh, it's only 10 minutes away. Well, what does that mean? It means 10 minutes by car. So 10 minutes with a combustion engine and gasoline or diesel fuel or whatever you're running on. But that 10 minutes in a collapse scenario obviously becomes much, much greater, because once vehicles stop working, which happens very quickly when refineries go down and also electronics parts are no longer in supply, and you don't have, you know, vehicle repair services or gas stations functioning or spare tires or anything. You know, it's a complex supply chain that keeps vehicles running these days. When that goes down, well, now you're down to biking, you know, a bicycle, human power. So that 10 minutes to the store becomes maybe an hour. And if you don't have a bicycle, then that hour to the store, now you have to go to walking. And that hour becomes maybe 2 hours or 3 hours. So what used to be a 20-minute round trip can be a six-hour round trip. And in a collapse scenario, you might be facing threats where it's not safe to walk, or you have to take precautions. You have to carry a firearm, for example, maybe put on a ballistic vest. So now going to the store and back becomes an all-day event. See, this is something that not a lot of people consider when it comes to prepping. I also find that people don't think about bicycles enough. See, I'll share a personal story with you. For many years, I've been trying to find the right kind of bicycle. And I like to buy four-wheelers, you know, quads as they're called. I'm trying to find the right bicycle that works on a ranch where there are mesquite trees everywhere. And mesquite trees have these long needles. They're really vicious. And they just tear up bicycle tires like nothing else you've ever seen. And so I've spent quite a bit of money and time and tried different things and tried to have foam-filled tires and flat-resistant tires. None of it worked. None of it. It was all a complete joke compared to mesquites. And I like bicycling, by the way. I've always enjoyed cycling on recumbents and such, not so much on a regular bike with a wedge-shaped seat shoved up your crotch. That's not my idea of comfort, you know, with your body hunched over, your neck pinched up, and your wrists all hurting. You know, the average road bike that people ride is an ergonomic nightmare. So I'm into biking in a way that feels comfortable, which is a recumbent bike, you know, where you're sitting, you're leaning back, you're sitting in a comfortable seat, you've got padding, you got a backrest, you can pedal. But the tires were always the issue. Well, I have a solution to share with you here. And the solution is tubeless tires. Tubeless tires require special rims and tires that match the rims. Now, there's a tire company out there called Maxxis that makes tires that are tubeless ready. I think that's the term they use for them, tubeless ready. And the tubeless tires have, just in the last 3 or 4 years, have become really popular in the cycling community, especially for off-road biking, you know, mountain biking, that kind of thing. And that's what you want to look into. Because when we're talking about distances, you are going to need a solution that allows you to travel on, let's say, roads in a post-collapse scenario in a way that is faster than walking and in a way that allows you to haul cargo. And the nice thing about these quad bikes, and you can get them from a variety of places online, and I know that Rhodes Car, I think it's called R-H-O-D-E-S, I know that Rhodes Car will make tubeless tires and rims custom for you on their quads. It's kind of like a two-seater bicycle, like a side-by-side bike, not front and back, but side-by-side. It's like a human-powered vehicle. I know they will make tubeless for you, and their bikes are really good. They work great, and there are a lot of others out there that can be made tubeless as well. Tubeless is the way to go, and then it extends your range tremendously and allows you to connect a cargo, like a little wagon behind your bike. And then you can haul cargo if you have to go to the, you know, the flea market or the barter market or whatever, the grocery store, whatever exists in a shutdown scenario, there will be free trade. You know, there will be like a Saturday market, a place where people go to buy and sell and trade, because commerce is necessary even in a collapse. So when you go there, you're going to need to be able to haul something back or haul something there. Maybe you're bringing something to trade with people. Maybe you have, I don't know, fresh peaches or something, or fresh milk from a cow that you're milking, or maybe you're selling, I don't know, ammunition or something. So you need to haul it there. Well, you can't haul it on a regular road bike, you know, the uncomfortable kind with a seat wedgie up your butt. You can't really carry cargo on that kind of a bike. But on these recumbent bikes, especially the quad bikes, you can carry all kinds of cargo and there's no risk of tipping over. And many of them, most of them, can go off-road and do very well if they have the tubeless tire setup that I just mentioned. Now, the only thing that's lacking in this whole picture I've described so far is your fitness level of riding a bike. And this is where you can prepare in advance. This is where fitness comes into play as part of your preparedness plan for the collapse of society, you know, the apocalypse. It's good to be fit because you might have to walk long distances. You might have to bike long distances. You might have to run. So it's good to have legs that work. And this is something that you can improve, obviously, just by having a recumbent exercise bike in your home, and you can do exercise biking or you can bike outside. But now is the time to boost up that fitness level, in my opinion, because, well, you know what's coming. You see what's happening. The collapse approaches. And I have a feeling that many of us are going to have to depend on human power to transport ourselves and whatever else we're carrying. And it's a lot of work. I know because I've done this. I've hauled like a wagon behind the bike. I forgot what they're called, like a trailer, like a bike, little bike trailer. When you add weight to the bike and you have to go up even a tiny little hill, guess what? Oh, it's a lot of work. You got to downshift all the way down to the first gear. And even then it can be hard work because your legs, you know, the average human being, I think, puts out like 150 watts. And that's it. That's not a lot of power. Now, if you train a lot, maybe you can put out 200 watts or 250 watts, but that's still a fraction of a horsepower. It's a fraction of the electric motors that are on electric bikes. So you're going to have to work at this. You're going to have to get your exercise level up so you can handle this when the time comes. But it's good to increase your cardiovascular fitness, obviously, for this very reason. Now, a lot of people have ATVs, and for the most part, they're gasoline powered. I know there are a few electric ones around, but mostly they're gasoline powered. I don't own one of those because they're too damn loud. Do you really want to be riding an ATV in the middle of an apocalypse, you know, at night, let's say, with a headlight on and a very loud motor? No, you don't, because you're basically announcing to everybody, hey, I'm here, you know, come shoot me, come rob me or whatever. So you don't want that. The nice thing about a bicycle is it's quiet. Oh, it's very, very quiet. And guess what? You own night vision, don't you? Some night vision gear. Well, you can wear the night vision and you can ride your bike and you can watch the road with your night vision and you can see threats well in advance, because other people will tend to have flashlights or IR illuminators if they're tactical teams. You'll be able to pick up IR illuminators, you know, a mile away, maybe farther, just by wearing some good night vision. So the truth is, a good quad bike with tubeless tires, with night vision gear, is actually a really good tactical setup for a post-apocalypse scenario. And the other good thing about that is that you can actually carry a rifle strapped across your chest while you're sitting in the bike seat riding the bike. And you can shoot the rifle from that position. Just be careful not to shoot your feet. Don't shoot your knees. You know, just giving you a little tip there. Because, you know, your legs are out in front of you when you're in a recumbent position. So try not to shoot your toes off. You're going to need them toes. So the point is, you can transport yourself in stealth mode with night vision, with a rifle ready to go, with a recumbent quad tubeless tire setup. And by tubeless, by the way, what I mean is there's no inner tubes in them. It's just the tires and the rims, just like a car tire. And that's more resistant to thorns and such. The thorns, they puncture the inner tubes inside normal bicycle tires, and the inner tubes are very, very flimsy and very weak. Whereas the tire itself, if you have a tubeless tire, you can fill that with some, what's it called, green slime, you know, stuff for car tires, stuff that automatically fills thorn holes and nail holes and such. And that works great. It actually works really well on a bicycle tire. And just try to get like a mountain biking tire, you know, 2-inch width or whatever. They've got 1.75 inch width. I've seen some people run crazy, like, I don't know, snowshoe tires, 4 inches wide, things like that. That might be a little overkill. Might be too much work, you know, to try to pedal with those. But a tactical bicycle is truly a very good idea if you're expecting a collapse scenario. The other thing is that bicycles can be tools on your rural property. So when you are transporting bags of grain, let's say, to your animals, or you're transporting chopped wood back to your house for your wood-burning stove to keep yourself warm in the winter, or whatever you're transporting, you're moving things to stay alive. A bicycle makes it so much easier than just trying to carry those things by hand. So you should have a working bicycle vehicle, in my opinion. And there are such things as human-powered tractors, kind of. It's kind of an exaggeration. I don't know if you've ever tried to plow a field with a human-powered tractor, but it's slow going. It'd be better to have a giant ox, you know, some kind of beast of burden, or some kind of working horse or something that could pull a plow for you, because that's crazy amounts of work. But I did see something one time about some human-powered tractor where people were trying to plow fields with pedaling like mad. I don't know. That sounds like it's not very viable to me. I've also seen human-powered lawnmowers that are riding mowers, where you ride on top and you pedal like mad, and then it spins the blades underneath and it slowly moves forward and chops grass. That sounds like a lot of work. I think I'd just rather let the grass grow at that point. I'm not sure that I want to try to compete like Lance Armstrong for the Tour de Lawn. You know, that's not exactly my idea of a great post-apocalyptic Saturday afternoon. Just let the grass grow at that point. Who cares? But human-powered vehicles for transport, yes, makes a lot of sense. And lastly, let's talk about shoes here for a second. A lot of people have fashion shoes, which I've never understood. I don't own a single pair of fashion shoes. And interestingly, neither does my wife. So we don't go to fashion events. We buy shoes that are functional, shoes that work, shoes that get you from point A to point B. And that's the purpose of shoes. And when it comes to the apocalypse, it's very, very important that you have some good, rugged hiking shoes, basically, and that you have more than one pair, especially if you have feet that are hard to shop for. Maybe you have really narrow feet, or really wide feet, or really big feet. Maybe you need special arches. I don't know. Well, you should probably stock up on some of those shoes, because in a collapse scenario, you're going to be putting more miles on your feet than ever before. You're going to wear out normal traditional shoes, and you're going to need backup pairs of shoes. And it might be a good idea to check out some really rugged shoes, maybe some tactical boots, maybe some hiking boots, hiking shoes of some kind, something that's going to be more rugged. And when you're on a recumbent bike, by the way, you can pedal with those hiking boots on. So you don't have to have like special biking shoes. You don't need like clip-on biking shoes, like pretending that you're racing in, you know, some bike race, some marathon. No, you just put on regular boots, regular hiking shoes, and you pedal, and you get from A to B. So start thinking about that. Your car, your truck will probably go down. You might not have fuel, you might not have parts, might not be electricity. There might be an EMP attack that takes out all the circuit boards in your vehicles anyway. Start thinking about vehicles that are human-powered, bicycles that work without electricity. Yeah, and buy some backup tires for that. And you don't need inner tubes because you're using tubeless tires, right? But you should have backup tires. You might have a backup rim. You might get a backup chain because, of course, these do require chains. Have some lubrication for your bicycle, you know. You might have a backup bike, but definitely have some extra pairs of shoes because you're going to need those. This is going to be the America's weight loss program, by the way, as people have to walk and bike and transport themselves from A to B and carry things around and so on, you know, getting off the couch, America's going to lose weight or die. Those are pretty much the only two choices in a post-collapse scenario. You're going to lose weight or you're going to die because you're going to be working. You're going to have a lot of physical labor, a lot of physical demands. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's going to be tough if you're not used to it beforehand. So I say, do your best to get used to all this before you need it. Because if you find yourself there suddenly needing to bicycle and walk and carry things and do all these things that you're not used to, it's going to be very, very difficult. You're going to be not fit, out of breath, and so on. And so this is why, as someone who prepares for things, you know, I'm a prepper, I make a point to lift weights. No matter what your age, you really should be lifting weights. You can lift weights at any age, and it's good for you at any age. I don't care if you're 75 years old, you should still lift weights. Just do what you can handle, keep it safe. I mean, I don't lift today what I lifted when I was, 30, obviously, but I still can lift a lot and stay very functional. And that's the goal. And I do cardio exercises and I bicycle. And in addition to that, I use my body on the ranch, whether with an axe or a sledgehammer or sometimes chopping wood or dealing with heavy equipment, swapping out hydraulics, hoses, doing work on the tractor, moving big tires around, things like that. If you use your body, use your muscles, you will maintain that strength, that functional strength. That's one reason why I really enjoy living in the country, and I encourage you to do that if you're not already. You live in the country, you're going to need to use your body. The place you live won't let you sit on the couch and get weak. Not if you want to take care of your property. You're going to have to. You're going to be forced to exert some strength and keep your muscles working. And that's going to serve you very, very well in a collapse scenario. Very well. Especially when it comes to home gardening. Don't forget how physically intense that is. Pulling up weeds, hoeing, digging rows, digging up potatoes, for example. Just moving soil around. Irrigation. You might be carrying a lot of water if there's no electricity in this scenario. And carrying water is no fun task. The farther you have to carry it, oh my goodness, the more fatigue you get. 7 pounds a gallon, it adds up. So think about all of these issues as you consider, preparedness. It all really does matter. And check out my website, prepwithmike.com, where we will be listing more and more podcasts and videos that have preparedness information and practical solutions like the ones I discussed right here in this podcast. My job is to help you get prepared for what's coming so that people like us, you and I, patriots, spiritual people, high morals people, we will be able to survive what's coming and help rebuild society on the other side. So thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, prepwithmike.com.